Well, I want to talk to you today about a topic that my guess is most all of you struggle with to some extent, and that topic is worry. Worry. Unless you are a male teenager, I think they may be the one group that sometimes is exempt from that. That if you're a parent of one of them, then you may worry because they're not worried about anything. They just kind of let life happen. But for the rest of us, I know for me, as I've gotten older, there are so many things to worry about. You come in here on a Sunday morning and the preacher's going to talk to you about how you're not supposed to worry. And so you can worry about that. And, you know, what's wrong with the world and what's wrong with your life and so many things to worry about. You leave here and turn on Rush Limbaugh or some radio station and they're talking about things that you can worry about. And you go home and listen to the news, watch the TV. They're talking about the economy and you can worry about those things, the state of our country. You get up in the morning and go to work and you're talking about potential layoffs at your job site and you can worry about that. And you worry. Everywhere you go, there are opportunities for us to worry. Kind of in a way of confession, this morning we meet at 8 o'clock. There are several of us who meet to pray that God will just kind of work in your hearts, work in our hearts, and have his way here. And it's a guided time of prayer where we'll pray about the thing that I'm going to be talking about. So 8 o'clock, we are gathered together, and we are praying about this thing of worry. And in the midst of our time of prayer, we get multiple people who pray. I drove in this morning and I came back, you know, the back way, and there was a big a bag of trash that had busted open on the road and it had strewn out all over through our ditch and through our yard. And that just kind of stuff drives me crazy. So I wanted to get that taken care of. In the midst of time, I go to God and I'm like, you know, I'm praying about this topic of worry and help us to not worry. And then I go right back into after I'm praying and somebody else starts praying, I start worrying about the trash that's out there while we're in the midst of praying about worry. So worry something, is it not, that can creep in? You know, when life is good, we're thinking, I'm worried things are going to get worse. And when things get worse, we worry. Well, I don't know if they're ever going to get any better. Worry. Now, what I want you to do is if you'll open up with me to Matthew chapter 6. In your Bible, Matthew chapter 6. We're going to have a few of these verses on the screen, but there are a few of these verses that we're not going to have, and I want you to look at directly from your Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Now, we're going to do something pretty profound and deep here when we look at verse 25. We're going to see Jesus' kind of his overall teaching here, what he wants us to draw from verses 25 through 34. In verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried." Do not be worried. He says that in verse 25, but apparently Jesus must not, I don't know if he just doesn't think real highly of his the intellect of his audience. I'm sure it would be different if he were here today. He could just tell us once and that would be it. But Jesus, for some reason, says, I'm not sure that they got my point. So I'm going to tell them the same thing I just told them just to make sure that it's emphasized. So if you'll scan down in verse 31, look at what Jesus says. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? Maybe twice wasn't enough, Jesus is thinking, because if you go down to verse 34, I want you to see what he says there. Any guess as to what it might be? So do not worry. Do not worry. Now, this is a challenging thing, but I want us to all confess that, and this will help me know that I, as a communicator, have done something that helped you understand what Jesus is saying. All of you together, would you say with me in unison, do not worry? That was not all together and it was not in unison. So let's try that one more time. One, two, three. Do not worry. All right, Jesus lays it out for us, doesn't he? Do not worry. If he tells us that very clearly, why can we not take our Bibles, shut them, walk out the door, thank you, Jesus, for telling me not to worry. I'm not going to worry anymore. So what's happening probably in some of you is you're thinking, he's telling me not to worry, and I worry, and so now I've got to worry about the fact that I'm not supposed to be worrying. And there's this thing that begins to happen in your mind where if you're a worrier, you'll worry about the fact that you even worry. So before we get into talking about how we overcome this issue of worry, I'd like to ask you to do just a little bit of self-assessment. this self-assessment, I want you to help identify whether or not you have a struggle with worry. Because like many topics, you'll be inclined to think, well, I don't really worry. You know, I care about things a lot, and I'm afraid a lot of things, but I don't really worry. If you're a worrier, here are some things that are probably present, and self-assess yourself. That doesn't sound very smart, self-assess yourself. Anyway, no, first of all, if you're a worrier, you think a lot of what-if type thoughts. What if this happens? What if I don't get the job? What if I lose my job? What if my job gets downsized? What if she leaves? What if she doesn't like me? What if they won't go out with me? What if he gets sick? What if I fail my test? What if, what if, what if? You'll tend to ask a lot of what-if questions. If you're a worrier, your prayer life may be largely about trying to control the outward circumstances in your life. And what I mean by that, you may spend an inordinate amount of time praying that God would align the circumstances in your life so that you get whatever it is that you want out of life, and you use prayer as a way to try to control the circumstances. So a lot of your time, you're trying to sort of play the miniature God over your life through prayer. If you're a worrier, you're probably prone to excessive guilt, maybe even some self-loathing, some doubting. If you're a worrier, you most likely feel stressed the majority of the time because you, as a worrier, are taking the burdens and the responsibilities of others upon yourself. It's like one lady, Joe Nichols, said in our prayer time this morning, if you don't want your worry, give it to me and I'll be glad to take it. I'm just that kind of person. Some of you may be prone to be that way. If you're a worrier, you probably feel guilty because you worry and are anxious. You're probably worried right now that we're talking about worry. If you're a worrier, these are things that are going to be present in your life, and all of us, to some extent, have this tendency to worry about some things. Now, for those of you who don't, you just go ahead and fall asleep because you're not worried about what I'm talking about right now. Just go to sleep, and we'll wake you up at the end of the service, and it'll not be any different for you. So if I see you sleeping, I'm going to know. Most of the time, that bothers me if you sleep, but today it won't because I know that dude is not worried. It won't bother me at all. All right, for those of you who are worried, let me just say just a little bit in way of encouragement. There was a guy named Daniel Goleman who wrote a book called Emotional Intelligence. And he said that in his book, he said that from birth on, that there are some people who just have more of a natural genetic predisposition to be worriers. And you're like, yes, I'm married to one. There's just this natural predisposition. About 15 to 20% of children, they're more finicky around new foods. They're shyer around strangers. They're just more subdued. They're more repressed in the way that they relate to people around them. So just have this tendency to naturally worry. And for some of you, if you feel that way, that I don't know how to quit worrying. It may be helpful to know that there was one pastor named John Ortberg. He referenced this and he said that not only do 15 to 20% of humans have this tendency, 15 to 20% of cats have the same tendency. 15 to 20% of cats don't explore new places. They hunt and try to find rodents that are smaller because I guess they're worried that some rodents that are bigger, they might not be able to kill them. Now, if you know anything about cats, they don't have spirits. That is not a spiritual thing. That's not some kind of a spiritual deficiency that they struggle with. So what you need to understand is if you're wired to just kind of be a worrier and that's your default, Jesus created you. He knows how he created you. He knows how you're wired. And the beautiful thing, the glorious thing about the gospel is that Jesus meets us where we are. And if you're at a place where I worry about everything, don't begin to worry about that and feel guilt right now. Understand that Jesus meets us where we are to lead us to where he wants us to be. So if you say, yes, I've got this issue with worry, then don't worry about that right now, okay? Let's just try to hear from Jesus what he has to say that will help us overcome this issue of worry because he will meet you where you are to lead you to where he wants you to be. All right, let's look at the text, and I want us to see what worry does to us, or really what is happening when we are worrying. Now, there are two key truths I want to lay out today. The first is this. Worry is, if you're going to take notes, worry is a symptom. Worry is a symptom. It is like the head of a dandelion. And if you know what a dandelion is, it's that weed that has the puffy ball on top. If you were to take that weed and you were to break it off and cast it aside, what's going to happen to that weed? It's just going to sprout right back up. And what I found in my own personal life with people that I get to counsel with, many times the issues we face, worry being one of those, it's like that symptom. It's the surface issue. It's the head of the dandelion. That if we try to just address the symptom without moving deeper to the root of the issue, then we never really move to any resolution. We never really overcome the symptom because we're just taking care of the head without going to the root. So understand key truth number one, worry is a symptom. And in verses 25 through 34, we'll just look through verse 30 this morning, we see the effects that this symptom has. Now, if you worry, here's what's taking place in your life. Number one, we see in verse 25, you are missing the point of life. If you worry, you're missing the point of life. Verse 25, Jesus says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you'll drink, nor for your body as to what you'll put on." Key question here, very profound what Jesus asks. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Well, Jesus teaches us here as well in Luke 12, 15, that life is not about these external things. And if we are worried about anything that's this external that Jesus talks about here, the food, the clothing, whatever it is, then we're really missing the point of life because life is not really about those things. So when we worry, we miss the point of life. Second thing that's taking place, if you're worrying, we find in verse 26, if you worry, you are forgetting the worth that God has placed on you as his child. You realize that if you're a child of God, he's placed this incredible worth on you. In verse 26, Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Are you not worth much more than a bird?" See, when we worry, when we fret, when we stew, we're neglecting and forgetting the worth that God has placed on us as his children. The third thing that takes place when we worry, we find in verse 27, you're wasting your time, thus wasting your life. In verse 27, Jesus says, asks this rhetorical question, "And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life?" The implication there is that worry is something that does not produce anything positive, even though that may be our default position. And if we worry, we are wasting our time. And since life is really just an accumulation of time, it's just time collected, then if we waste our time, ultimately we're going to waste our life. Somebody said that worry is like a rocking chair. You can go back and forth and back and forth, but it never really takes you anywhere. When we worry, we waste our time, we waste our life. And the last thing that is happening, if you're worrying about something, in verse 28 through 30, is that you're missing out on the faithful provision of God. Look with me. In verse 28, Jesus says, "And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and is thrown into the furnace, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you?" And what Jesus does several times here is he presents an argument that is from the lesser to the greater. He's saying here that if God clothes the field, you know, the grass of the field, will he not much more clothe you? If you go and you buy a diamond ring from a jeweler and you pay the money, will not that jeweler also give you a box to put the ring in? You know, if they're going to tend to something that is of much lesser value, will God not provide for you if you are of greater value? And when we worry, when we're stewing about things, then we're missing out on comprehending the faithful provision of our Father in heaven. So we get a glimpse here, just in these verses, what is happening if we are worrying. I think it's important to note, with regard to the symptom of worry, here what Jesus is not saying. Because some of you who are already kind of ready to doze off, you're like, yes, don't worry about anything. First of all, Jesus is not saying that these things don't matter. The food, the clothing, the things that are happening in your family's life that you're worried about. He's not saying that those things don't matter. In fact, in verse 33, he tells us that if we'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that these things will be given to us. They'll be provided to us as well. So he doesn't say they don't matter. Secondly, he doesn't say don't care. And this is a key distinction here. He's not trying to get us to sort of be flower children and just kind of flow with things and, you know, sing kumbaya and just live that way. He's not saying don't care. In fact, the word that he uses when he says worry here is the word merimnao. And it could be, depending on the context, translated a couple of different ways. One of the ways that it's often translated in the New Testament is concern or care. For instance, when Paul writes in Philippians 2:20, he uses the same word, merinao, when he says that Timothy had a genuine interest or concern. Timothy had a genuine merinao for the Philippian believers. It was a good thing. 1 Corinthians 12:25, Paul says that the members of the body of Christ should merinao for one another. We should have a concern, a care for one another. In another instance, 2 Corinthians 11:28, Paul spoke of the daily pressure of merimnao, or concern that he had for all the churches. So there's a sense in which that this merimnao can have a positive effect when there's a genuine interest, a genuine concern for something. The dividing line is when that genuine interest and concerns becomes a fearful concern, an anxiety-ridden concern, when it moves over from just having a genuine interest and concern and care to moving into worrying about it and having an unhealthy, fearful concern. So Jesus is not saying here, don't care. He's not saying don't have a plan, don't have a forethought in life. And he's also not saying that you shouldn't work for anything. You should just kind of lay low, and if you're like the bird of the air, then God's going to come and drop the worm in your mouth. No, I mean, the bird has to go out and work for the food. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica that if a guy's not going to work, he shouldn't eat either. So the scriptures don't teach us that we should just kind of lay back and accept life passively, and we're not worrying means and requires that we just let life happen to us, and, you know, we're just not really concerned about what's going on. Jesus is not teaching that. So we see here, worry is a symptom. That's key truth number one. Here's key truth number two. Worry has a source. Worry has a source. The superficial outward issue of worry, we see here that worry is a symptom, but worry has a source. If you look with me in verse 25, journey back up, drop back up. In verse 25, Jesus says, "For this reason I say to you." In verse 25, Jesus is connecting verses 25 through 34 with verses 19 through 24. In verses 19 through 24, stick with me for a second, Jesus has talked about our treasure, our possessions. And when he talks about our treasure and our possessions in 19 through 24, if we are devoted to treasure and possessions, as we find in verse 24, it is automatically going to lead to our worry in verse 25. This is an important connection between verses 24 and 25. Verse 24 speaks of our devotion. It's either going to be toward God, or it's going to be toward riches, toward possessions. If our devotion is toward possessions, then the natural byproduct of that is that we're going to worry. So, draw this together here. Worry as a symptom has to do with your emotion. Worry as the source has to do with your devotion. The outward symptom of worry is about this emotion that you exhibit outwardly. But when we think about the source of worry, it's not an issue of emotion, it's an issue of devotion. And what we don't need to do in trying to cure worry is to say, I'm going to try to get rid of the emotion, without looking at the source, which is about your devotion. If we're going to get rid of the emotion outwardly, we've got to plunge in, look deeper at the devotion, not just the outward emotion. Now, I don't really care so much if you understand that or not, but if you would, shake your head yes and act like you're tracking right with me. All right, we're seeing so far that the outward symptom of worry is about your emotion, but the inner source of worry is about your devotion. With that said, look in verse 30. I want you to catch something very key that has to do with the source of our worry. Jesus closes that line there. You know, he asks another rhetorical question, basically saying that God will provide for you. And then he uses or basically develops this statement that in some ways it was, I think, intended to chide his listeners. In verse 30, the last statement he makes there, he says to the people, "You of little faith." Literally, he's saying to the people, "You little faithers." The outward symptom of worry, it's about an emotion. The inner source of worry, it's about your devotion. It's about your trust. And as one pastor named Andy Stanley says, that there is a direct relationship between the size of your faith and the size of your worry. When we have a devotion to God, when we have a faith in God, our worry will tend to decrease. But if our worry is large, it is an indicator that our faith and our devotion to God is small. Now, this is a statement I think it's key if we're going to turn the page and begin to overcome this issue of worry. The statement is this: the things that we worry about the most, the things that you worry about the most, tend to be the things that you are devoted to the most. I shared this before. You probably don't worry about my house payment because you're not devoted to my house payment. You probably don't worry about my dog, Lucy, because you're not devoted to my dog, Lucy. You don't worry about my retirement because you're not devoted to my retirement. You don't worry about those things because you're not devoted to those things. But now, think about the things in your life that you do worry about. You're probably maybe just a little bit worried if you don't have enough money at the end of the month about your house payment or your vehicle payment. You're probably worried about things that have to do with your family. Why? Because you're devoted to those things. So if we're going to turn the corner and begin to overcome this issue of worry, we need to understand that we don't overcome worry. We don't treat worry by trying to worry less. It's kind of like you've ever tried at night real hard to go to sleep. It just doesn't happen. The more you try, the worse it makes things. And in the area of worry, if you're a person who worries, you're not going to cure your worry by addressing the outer symptom. Worry is a symptom, but we have to address the source. So instead of focusing on the outward emotion, we need to look at the inner devotion. If we're going to cure the outward symptom, the outward emotion of worry, we've got to look at the inner source of devotion. So a couple of takeaways to make this practical in your life. If you do two things. Number one, identify what you are devoted to the most by identifying what you worry about the most. One of the things with worry, it's kind of in this whole family of psychological disorders like, you know, stress and anxiety, those sorts of things, that are, in some ways, they're undifferentiated. It's possible for us just to worry without really even knowing and identifying exactly what it is that we worry about. But I would ask you to take some time, and we're going to have some time just in the invitation today, for you to stop and turn to your Father, and maybe it would be helpful for you to turn to your spouse or your children, or, you know, I don't know how this works for you. Turn to somebody else and say, "What do you think I worry about the most?" Figure out what it is that you worry about the most. Because you need to understand what you are devoted to the most. Again, we can't cure worry by focusing on the outward emotion. We have to focus on the inner devotion. So the first thing, figure out what you're devoted to the most. If I were to say in my own life, or you were to say in your life, I spend a lot of time worrying about if somebody's mad at me or if they're upset at me, if I've done something to them, and I worry about that. And I'm all the time concerned about that, just worried. Concerned in a fearful sort of way. Then that indicates that I'm devoted to my reputation. And that's kind of a high value for me. For you, that may not be the case. You may not really care what people think of you. For you, you may worry about your job. You may worry about your business. You may worry about whatever it is that's happening at your workplace. And let that be an indicator to you that if you're worried about the most, about that the most, that is the thing that you are devoted to the most. And this is where step number two is incredibly, incredibly important. This is truly, just from what I've in maybe a limited way observed in my own life, this is truly a transformational thing. If you will identify the things that you worry about the most, which are the things that you're devoted to the most, then take those isolated things. Step number two, turn to your Father in heaven and draw in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, when Jesus says, after his praise and he begins his petition in the Lord's Prayer, he says, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If you will take the things that you are devoted to, the things that you worry about, and say of those things when worry begins to creep in, stop. "Father, I'm worried right now about my job. But Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm worried about my employees. But Father, I'm going to stop. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, I'm worried that the person doesn't like me, that they don't accept me. I'm just going to stop. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And all the things that we worry about, let those be catalysts to move us to our Father in heaven, who provides for the needs and the things that we worry about. The cure to worry is not to try to quit worrying, to stop worrying by focusing on the symptom, the emotion. The cure to worry is surrender. Transfer of trust from yourself, your ability, your adequacy, to your Father in heaven. And the way to do that is to simply follow the Lord's Prayer and say to your Father in heaven, "This is something that I'm worried about. It's creeping in. It's draining me of life. But Father, in that area, what? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And everything that we worry about that would rob us of life, the good life in the kingdom, we turn right to our Father in heaven and say, "Father, I relinquish this to you. I surrender it to you. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And there is, I believe, in store for each one of you an incredible freedom, an incredible empowerment when we take the things that we are worried about and instead of sitting back and passively reacting to those, we aggressively, proactively move in and do something about the worry. By saying to our Father in heaven, "Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's what Peter was trying to get across when he said, "Cast all your anxieties." Do you know what the word is for anxieties? Cast all your marimnaos on him. Why? Because he cares for you. At Philippians 4, 6 and 7, we often quote that verse that talks about do not be anxious. But right before that, in verse 5, it says, "The Lord is near." The Lord is near, and then Paul follows. He says, "Do not be anxious." He says, do not be marimnao about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, present your request to God. If we'll take the worries that we have, identify those and realize that what we worry about the most is what we are devoted to the most, and begin to shift our devotion from that thing to our Father in heaven and his kingdom, then we have a platform as we journey through the rest of this passage to see Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 begin to take root in our lives, where Jesus says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And the step that I'd ask you to take today in overcoming worry is not to try in your own strength to worry less. The step that I'd ask you to take today is to, whatever it is that you're worrying about, understand that that at root, the source of it, it's an issue of your devotion. And would you take that very thing and turn to your Father in heaven and say to him, Father, in this particular thing, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you invite us into your kingdom. You give us an opportunity to embrace this new vision of life that is given to us through Jesus, your Son. And I know that there are oftentimes passages that are very difficult for me to preach with any measure of integrity, simply because I struggle with the truth and the application of the truth. And this passage is that same way. And it's easy for me to worry about so many things and try to control so many things. And God, I pray that you would stir in my own heart, and I pray that you would stir in the heart of every person here, that we could transfer our trust into your kingdom. We can stop when the little seedbed of worry begins to take root. And we can say about that thing there, Father, I'm going to do everything that I can today. I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to try to take care of business on my end. But Father, beyond that, I can't control the outcome. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, give us hearts that are ready to surrender, that are ready to relinquish. And as we move in and we hear the words of this song sung about seeking you, drawing close to you, right now, would you help the person who struggles with this issue of worry? It may have been something that they have tried to cure the symptom for years and years, but they've not really ever understood that underlying that symptom there is a source. And unless we get to the source, the symptom is going to continue to come back over and over. And God, our Father, would you give us victory in this area? I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In just a minute, Liz is going to sing about seeking God, finding God. And what I'd ask for you is, if you're just waking up and you've not been worried the whole time, then stand up and sing and just rejoin us. But if there are things in your life, you know, gosh, I worry about that too much, would you just open up your heart to God and say, Father, help me see beyond the outward symptom. Help me get to the source. Help me get to the heart issue involved here of devotion, not just emotion. God, would you help me regularly remind me through the course of this week? I can't do this on my own. Would you regularly remind me through the course of this week that I can turn to your kingdom? I can turn to you as my Father and relinquish that worry into your hands and into your care. At this time, if we would, let's sing.
Drink from the cup in your hand.
Father, I thank you this morning for your work in our hearts. I thank you that you are a good God. I pray for every person who just seen a small bit of the worry and the stress that's present in people's lives. But I pray for every person who's struggling with this right now, who they have things that they are not sure how they're going to work out tomorrow. And God, it's everything that they can do just to make it through the day. I pray for those people that you would give them a special touch. I pray that you would boost our faith. I pray that you would help us to have a dependence upon you. God, I pray that we would be able to turn to you and say, in my own life, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.